It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
6 months of inaction, but they finally did get it done, a $900 billion COVID package. It also includes a $1.4 trillion government funding plan. Let's take a look at what's inside these 5,593 pages. You get $600 per person direct payment, total of $2,400 for a family of four. There's an extra $300 a week in unemployment benefits. It revised the Paycheck Protection Program with a cash infusion, and it extends the eviction moratorium and also provides funding for vaccine distribution. Now, it does not provide a liability shield for businesses. It does not provide money for state and local governments, and it does not provide direct aid to the restaurant industry, which has been so hard hit already. Many lawmakers are complaining the bill doesn't go far enough, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says it hits the mark, but he blames Speaker Pelosi for holding it up for so long.
Well, so it's noteworthy that at the end, they finally gave us what we could have agreed to back in July. I think what held it up was they did not want to do anything before the presidential election. I think they felt that that would disadvantage the president.
And it's far cry from where Speaker Pelosi began negotiating this summer at nearly $2 trillion. But as she notes in her weekly press conference a few weeks ago, some things have changed.
What was then before was not more of this. This has simplicity. It's what we've had in our bills. It's for a shorter period of time. But that's okay now because we have a new president.
The House passed it 359-53, and the Senate passed it 92-6. All the nays, by the way, were Republican. Now it goes to the president's desk for a signature. And here's the best part, guys. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says those $600 checks could go out as soon as next week.
Wow, Griff. How delighted he seems about this bill. Some of us don't feel that way. This is $2 trillion. The same thing, the same shenanigan that's been happening for the last at least decade, where the Congress doesn't decide on a spending bill until it's like midnight of the night where there will be no funding for government. So what they do is behind closed doors, they write a massive bill that no one has time to read. And the threat is if you don't vote yes on this bill, the government will shut down. And that is horrific, according to the ruling class in D.C. And so we end up with these bills that are just horrific. 5,000 pages, larger than any spending bill before this time. Over $2 trillion. I think congressmen were given like 3 hours to read this. It was not possible. The Senate, you'll be happy to know, voted for it by a margin of 91-7. And Mitch McConnell's very happy about that. Very happy about that indeed. So what has this bill got in it? I'm just going to mention a few things because you tell me, trust me, no one really knows yet. They still haven't read it this morning. They couldn't possibly have. But one thing that it has in it is $15 million for Pakistan for gender programs. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is very important. And that just gives you an idea of the nonsense. And they're giving money to everyone. In fact, Rand Paul made a very powerful statement on the floor. We're going to just give you the first couple of minutes of it. Let's listen.
Republicans like to mock modern monetary theory, the idea that government can print money with impunity, that government can spend whatever it wants without the need to tax. Modern monetary theory is basically the Dick Cheney deficits don't matter crowd, trussed up with a new fancy title. Most Republicans rightly lampoon this quackery. That is, when they're not practicing the quackery themselves. Today, many of these same Republicans will vote for a bill that makes modern monetary theory look like child's play in comparison. The monster spending bill presented today is not just a deficits don't matter disaster. It is everything Republicans say they don't believe in. This bill is free money for everyone. Proponents don't care if you're fully employed or own your own house or own your own business. Free money for everyone, they cry. And yet, if free money were the answer, if money really grew on trees, why not give more free money? Why not give it out all the time? Why stop at $600 a person? Why not $1,000? Why not $2,000? Maybe these new free money Republicans should join the Everybody Gets a Guaranteed Income Caucus. Why not $20,000 a year for everybody? Why not $30,000? If we can print up money with impunity, why not do it? The Treasury can just keep printing the money. That is, until someone points out that the emperor has no clothes and that the dollar no longer has value. To so-called conservatives who are quick to identify the socialism of Democrats, if you vote for this spending monstrosity, you are no better. When you vote to pass out free money, you lose your soul and you abandon forever any semblance of moral or fiscal integrity.
You know, Rand Paul has really received my, I recognize he's a little, he's different on some of these security issues, but we're learning that he actually might have been onto something. And like his father, he doesn't believe in all these entanglements in foreign wars. And because we'd come out of the Iraq war under George W. Bush, and I think many of us supported that because we saw the attack of 9/11, and we weren't really clear at the time. We were not equipped to make a judgment about who we should be fighting in the Middle East. And now we have more knowledge about it, and perhaps it's true that we should not have attacked Iraq, and maybe we should have attacked Iran. Probably would have made a lot more sense. But we've been involved in foreign wars. We have spent our treasure and our lives in conflicts that probably were not in America's best interest. And so that's what Rand has felt. But he has become just a powerhouse. He's fearless. And I just say, God bless Rand Paul. Seven senators only voted against it. And you can imagine who they are. They're the usual suspects, the usual great suspects, from Josh Hawley to Ted Cruz to Rand Paul to Paul Johnson. And I don't have time to go through all of them, but did I say Paul? Not Paul Johnson. Johnson. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. And so we have another behemoth. And, of course, Mitch McConnell is very happy about it. He always is. He loves to spend money. And that takes me to this other point I made earlier in the week. We have a lot of problems, and it's impossible to solve all of them. Sometimes we feel perfectly helpless. But I'll tell you something that you can do today. We know that there is a move afoot to challenge the Electoral College, the electors presented on January the 6th. We know that we have people in the House of Representatives who are fully prepared, ready to do battle, to go in and deny those electors and to challenge that. We know now there are several senators. They're just not coming out by name, but we have pretty good assurance that there are senators who are going to object too. But we've got the Senate Majority Leader and most of the senators. We got Mitt Romney yesterday saying how embarrassing it was that President Trump was contesting this, how embarrassing to him. Because, you see, he is, like, you know, sophisticated and smarter. And it's really embarrassing to, you know, we just need to get on with it. So don't count on him to vote properly on January the 6th. And don't count on the leadership in the Republican Party. Mitch McConnell has already said, oh, don't do that. He's told him in a private call, don't, you know, vote against the electors, because that if we have a challenge, that's going to force Republican senators to appear to vote against the president. And that would be terrible for us because it might affect our coming elections. We have to find that sweet spot where people think we support President Trump, but we don't actually support him, because that's what Mitch McConnell does all the time. It's what he's been doing since I've been watching him for a long time. That's why I find it so disgusting. This is what Rhino Republicans do. After President Trump did everything he could to get all of them reelected, and they were pretty much all rhinos that were up this time, worked himself, did yeoman's work at his age, going out doing all these rallies trying to help them, and it worked. I mean, I would say that it's probably very likely. I would say it's true, because I have to add the caveat, because I don't know for sure, that President Trump's great lead in this presidential election is what dragged them over the finish line. People didn't rush out to vote for these rhinos. They didn't. Came out because of President Trump. And now what are these rhinos doing? What are they doing? They can't defend President Trump or do anything about, you know, the elect. We have to, you know, accept the Joe Biden. We have to congratulate him and congratulate Kamala Harris, the first woman vice president. Aren't we proud, said Mitch McConnell. So as I told you, we do have a way to communicate with them, and I think it's powerful. It's a letter that I read to you earlier. It's a quote from Sam Adams. It's a powerful letter, and I'm encouraging you to go to Free Roots. You got a pencil? Okay. freeroots.com/go/senators-stand-your-ground. So think of it this way. Senators, stand your ground, separated by dashes. Senators-stand-your-ground. And before that, it's freeroots.com/go/. freeroots.com/go/senators-stand-your-ground. Now, I know it's very hard to communicate that stuff verbally. We will, of course, put it on our Facebook page, but if you get, if it gets, you know, if you can't remember, you're driving and you just couldn't quite catch all that, look at freeroots.com. And I think you'll find this petition if that's the best way for you to remember. It will be on our Facebook page. And send something to your senator right now that says, put them on notice. And it calls them to account. And, you know, they do listen to the people. So that's one thing. All right. So there was a meeting in the White House. I didn't even talk about it yesterday, but the New York Times did. Boy, they rushed right out. Maggie Haberman talking about how Mark Meadows and the others were trying to talk President Trump into just, you know, letting this go. That was the report. I just like to know how it is that still in the White House, when the president has a private meeting, the New York Times still knows about it immediately. Why is that, do you suppose? How is it that we still have spies in the White House? Haven't we purged them all? I guess we have not. Okay, so Mark Meadows came out with a statement yesterday and said that President Trump did meet with several Congress members on the fraud, and he will fight back. So that was the latest on that. Also, there are, and I just want to remind you, the alternative electors are in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, and New Mexico. They have created another slate of ballots for President Trump. So now, interestingly enough, the one big important thing that's missing here, at least is making things more difficult, is that these state houses, the Republicans, I think, have 27 now own the state houses. Meaning there are more Republicans than Democrats in the state house in 27 states. They have every right to call themselves back into session and embrace these alternate electors and do something about the false results in their states. Now, some of the local congressmen or legislators are saying, well, we can't do that because the governor won't call us back into session. But Mo Brooks is saying they don't have to. It's better if they could be back in session, but they can come themselves as long as they have I forgot if it's a quorum, but they can go back, the ones that feel that this is important, and they can convene themselves. Let's see. I don't have that in front of me, but Mo Brooks has been writing about this, and so you should be able to find that. And so encourage your local legislators, the ones that you know are good guys, to go ahead and meet and certify that that other slate of electors. All right, there's a lot of different election news, but I think I've told you the most important parts of it this morning. And when we come back, I want to turn to the things that you've been writing to me this week. Just some really interesting things. You guys are really thinking. Some very deep thoughts, and I want to share some of those, and I also want to open the phone lines. So we'll do that in a second, but on the other side. Meanwhile, let's just listen for just a little bit of Little Drummer Boy, Sandy Rios in the Morning.
So to honor him,
the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hi, it's Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, the words that John pens early in his gospel are truly comforting, aren't they? Knowing that God fulfilled his promise of bringing Jesus to us and that he's with us and for us. And yet, you know what? Most evangelicals outside of the U.S. in places where Bible League serves, like Asia, Africa, and the Middle East, have never read those words. They can't open their Bible on a daily basis and be reminded of God's precious promises. So how wonderful this Advent season if many Christians around the world could open their own Bible and read for themselves, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Learn how you can be a blessing to these believers praying for a Bible by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Giving a Bible to somebody is the greatest gift you can give somebody in life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States. Mr. Pence serves as second in command, first in the presidential line of succession, and President of the U.S. Senate. Matthew 20:26 reminds us of the qualities of a good leader. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Mike Pence as he serves the president and our country. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Feeling stuck? At Liberty University, we know you've waited long enough to move forward. So we're making sure the resilient career you want is closer than you think. Choose from more than 450 degrees, 100% online, for one of the lowest tuition rates in the nation. We've kept it the same for 5 years and counting, and we'll give you college credit for your life experience so you can save time and money. Stop feeling stuck and start moving toward the future you want with a school you can trust. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
President Trump is calling for a massive protest in the nation's capital. Mark your calendar, January 6th. The president says it's going to be big and wild. That's the extent of what we know. Meanwhile, Franklin Graham has weighed in on the election controversy. Writing on Facebook, he believes the election was either rigged or stolen, and he's not alone. 68% of Republicans believe the president was robbed, 10% of Democrats. That's according to a Fox News poll. It's a big problem, folks. The American people do not have confidence in the integrity of our elections, and Democrats and Republicans are to blame. The Democrats for promoting and perpetrating voter fraud, and the Republicans for refusing to do anything about it. The fact is, 74 million Trump supporters were disenfranchised on Election Day. Every time a dead person or illegal person votes, a legal vote is suppressed, and that's not right. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the morning.
By crushing the virus. We didn't do it. We couldn't pass legislation until now because the administration simply did not believe in testing, tracing, treatment, wearing masks, sanitation, separation, and the rest, scientific approach. It had come clear to us now that they believed in herd immunity, quackery, springing right from the Oval Office, and not denied sufficiently by some of the CDC and the rest. So now we have a vaccine, and that gives us hope. A vaccine that is springs from science. People say around here sometimes, I'm faith-oriented, so I don't believe in science. And I said, well, you can do both. Science is an answer to our prayers. And our prayers have been answered with a vaccine. And in this legislation, we had provision for it to be purchased, and distributed in a way, again, that is fair and equitable and free.
Okay, Nancy, I have a few things to say back. Let me just make it quick. First of all, she's thrilled about the vaccine. Of course, she got it a couple of days ago, and it's based on science, so she tells us, and that people who are Christians or Republicans there are telling her they are faith-oriented, not science. Like, I thank you, Nancy. I haven't heard anyone say anything like that, well, since, Darwin. I mean, and I wasn't alive then, but okay, thank you. I guess she doesn't know that some of the greatest scientists that ever lived were followers of, believed in God, and some were followers of Jesus. I think of the Pasteurs who developed the penicillin. But I guess she doesn't know that, you know, so she thinks that she likes to say, because she likes to disparage. She also said we have this vaccine and it gives us hope and it's going to be, you know, issued fairly. What didn't she say something about equitably, fairly, something like that? I guess she did not realize that we know, and I don't have time to play these clips, but we know that they're going to be given out on a basis of your race. If you are a minority in California and other areas of the country, you're going to have priority because you've had disadvantage and you've been suffered, you know, economic hardship and all kinds of things because of your race. You will get the virus first. So you'll get the virus. You'll get the vaccine first. So, yeah, not so fair, not so equitable because we've never done this before. So that means that you're going to allow a disproportionate amount of white people to die. You're going to make a choice about who's going to live and who's going to die based on race. That, as far as I can tell, is eugenics. That is choosing populations. It's what Margaret Sanger did, founder of Planned Parenthood, when she decided that black people were human weeds that needed to be exterminated. And so she was going to do it through abortion. That's why they built so many clinics in black and minority neighborhoods, Hispanic, because they're going to control, weed out the population. So now we're going to weed out the population differently by giving the vaccine to, now we're going to reverse it. I guess it's payback time. And I don't have any more to say about the vaccine right now. I'm not prepared to discuss it with you. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest with you. And so I'm not going to go into that right now, but I just wanted to hear what Nancy had to say. I've gotten some great email from you, and I want to just share with you what some people are saying. This is from Grass. He calls himself Grassblade. He's a truck driver. He said, I was listening to your show last Thursday. I drive a truck, and I was going home to Savannah, Georgia. I heard you talking about a restaurant in Michigan called Spangler's. You asked people to call them to try to help them out a little bit through this trying time. Spangler's was, we played that, I think, almost 10 days ago, maybe. And it was a great interview with the owner, and they had decided to defy Governor Whitmer's orders because they were going under. They'd spent so much money, and they'd tried to follow all the rules, and now she was shutting them down again. So they were opening up in the face of a lot of opposition, but tremendous support from the community. So he said, you ask people to call and try to help them out a little bit. So I did call, and I ordered $20 worth of food in the morning and instructed them to give it to whomever they wished that comes through their door. And I also gave the waitress that I was talking to a $10 tip. She was so thankful. I could hear the tears in her eyes. Thanks to you, it helped them out, and I'm sure it helped me out too. Enjoy doing stuff like that. Thank you, Sandy. Have a great holiday, and Merry Christmas to you and your family. And God bless you. God bless you. That's just cool. And that is, you know, that's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's no question about that. This is, speaking of the spiritual, because we often do, I am a Christian and I talk about it all the time. It informs my life. It is, you know, it's in Him, meaning Jesus, that we move and breathe and have our being. And that's how I live my life. So it comes out of my mouth a lot. And so I've heard from some pastors who listen, and I want to share a couple of things that they have said. This is from Chad. He is a pastor. He doesn't say what state. But he says, I've been listening to you for a couple of years now. I like your show and recommend it to others. What I'd like to see is a profile segment of people who were socialists but realized their mistake and turned. Some examples in history. Also, I wish these talking points would be focused on with more clarity. I wish you would showcase a Democratic-run city and profile their demise. And I'm going to go through the rest of these. And I want to just give Chad, I appreciate, Chad, that you are a pastor and that you're thinking of these things. That means so much to me because I find too few pastors willing to think about the gospel in terms of the world and everything, that it doesn't just apply to Christians who go to church and do Bible study and food pantries, that all those safe things, wonderful things, but safe things, it applies to how we relate to the world, to our political environment, our governments, to things, injustices that we see around us. And so thank God for you, Chad, for doing that. Yeah, Democratic-run city and profile their demise. You know, I have done that on occasion, but it's been a while. Seattle, there was a whole documentary on Seattle that was just dreadful. That was a couple of years ago. Also one on Detroit, Michigan, about the decay, about people moving into these huge mansions that have been, you know, showcases during the Henry Ford era and afterwards when Detroit was in its apex. And this, the rats and building fires inside of homes and these old two-story homes because of the poverty and the crime. But he's right. I haven't done it in a long time. And he says, for the life of me, I can't understand how people can support politicians who started as rich people but now are filthy rich. And he thinks every politician should be under constant audits and financial surveillance. I think you're right, Chad. You know, my husband is a former FBI agent. They had to be, their finances were audited every year. Everything I made had to be, revealed and documented. We did that every year, and it was a good practice. We had to be very transparent about what was happening. And I'm with you. That's what should happen in Congress. This is from another pastor who I know personally. Steve is from my hometown. And I alluded to this in another show, but I want to read to you what he said. He is another pastor who believes in preaching just what's going on in the world. He talks plainly. He talks about the news, but he also, of course, talks about the most important thing, which is that we have a Savior. And so he said he's telling his people, calling them to do is pray and have hope. Prayer is not a thing we can do. It is the thing we can do. Not to as an excuse to disengage, but to press the throne of heaven for relief and then obey whatever direction we get in the process. I do not think Christians in general understand the ramifications of what's going on here, hence the lack of urgency. Perhaps we are headed for persecution, but if that is so, I would not want it to come for lack of faith and prayer on my part. I wonder, Sandy, if persecution is on the horizon. What will come of those who are playing it soft now when the ramifications are minimal? To be honest, I think people are more concerned about the emotional discomfort this election season is causing them than they are about their livelihoods or even their lives. We are no longer fighting for our emotional security. We're fighting for our very lives and the lives of our loved ones. In the meantime, as I've told our church, I'm going to follow David's example and diligently seek the Lord for a different result. And I'm going to just go back and say that David was praying for his infant son to be spared. Because he was dying, in the process of dying. So that's what he's referring to. So I'm going to follow David's example and diligently seek the Lord for a different result. If he does not give me that, then I will give up. I will get up, dust myself off, and worship. And the reference is in 2 Samuel 12. Faith requires no less. I may lose everything in the process, but I must speak the truth as I see it and read it in the Word of God. It was anointed, Steve. I appreciate that so much. And God bless you and keep you and all that you're doing down there in my hometown. This is from, by contrast, this is from Herb. Herb writes me fairly often, and he's been listening for a long time. So Herb, I'm going to read what you had to say. It looks like the voting machine manufacturers are coming for the liars on Fox. Yeah, Dominion and Smartmatic are coming for Fox and all other outlets, accusing them of, defamation of character. So he's right about that. It looks like the White House is self-destructing, too. I wish some of the lawyers would come after you, too, but you're too small a fish to interest them. So, Herb, you know, you always send me such encouraging email. He always does. It's always something like this. But you know what stands out to me most is your personal bitterness. It's almost in every email. People don't really say such things to other people unless inside of them there's deep hurt, and I think often self-hatred. I have to say, Herb, even my own father, I'll confess this publicly, had a very wounded childhood. And as much as he loved his family, and I'll say loved me, he could be so cruel. And it was because of his own self, many times self-hatred. It was a bad part of him that was unleashed on us. And that's what I sense in you. I pray that right now, maybe as we consider the birth of Jesus, who was and is our Savior, you might want to ask, and I'm praying that you do, Herb, ask forgiveness for whatever that dark thing is in you. Whatever it is you've done, whatever bitterness you harbor, whoever hurt you, whatever horrible loss that's caused you to be so unkind so consistently. And a lot of times, you know, we're not completely innocent, Herb, but a lot of times bad things happen to us, but we have a choice about how we respond. And so you have a reason for repentance. We all do. We're all sinners. So I would just hope that right now you would ask forgiveness for whatever personal sins have set you on this bitter course. And I hope and pray that you would find new life and joy and peace in His presence. I hope that listening to me all of these years, really, and really hating me, disliking me, hating what I say, I'm praying that it will bear fruit in your life and transform you in ways that you cannot imagine, but it won't happen unless you confess your own personal sins. And so I'm just encouraging you to do that. John 3:16 is a great explanation of how you do that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, and that's you, Herb, whoever, at whatever point in life, I don't care how old you are, I don't care what you've done, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. He's not looking to condemn you, Herb. He's looking to save you, but that the world through Him might be saved. This is John 3:16 and 17. So, Herb, that's what I have to say in response to your email to me. This is from Dwight. Dwight says, people say God has everything under control. Well, what about man? God made men in His image, told him to take dominion over the earth, and gave him the freedom to choose. Now it seems that men are losing all control. He even told us it was all going to happen. See the scriptures. Yeah, that's true, Dwight. And you're right about the God has everything under control. But people forget. That's kind of a cop-out, isn't it? That's an excuse not to do anything, and that's what you're saying. We can't do that. God gave us dominion over this earth, and He's right. So this is from Joe. Okay, he says, I am your everyday listener from Texas. God heard my prayers. Prayers have power if you do it with faith. I pray that Joe Biden becomes president. He listened to me. Now I am praying for the people that cannot see the good things that are coming. The Dow reached 30,000K, all-time high when Biden won, and now we have the vaccine to fight the pandemic. Vaccines and masks will make us come back to normal. I'm also praying that people peacefully accept the will of 82 million people. God bless America, and God bless both our outgoing president and our coming president. This is from Joe. So now, Joe, I guess that when you prayed to God, you were fully aware that as soon as Joe Biden is installed in office, one of the first things he's promised he's going to do is to order transgenders be able to go to the bathrooms, male and female, wherever they want, all over the place, and that will include public schools. And you probably also know that under the leadership of Kamala Harris, who is an abortion fanatic, she loves abortion, she's for it, she supports it, all of the restrictions on abortion will be unleashed. And, of course, I told you, I think yesterday, that there's a whole document that talks about how the plans to come after Christians. So when you were praying to God, I'm wondering if you thought about what God might think about what's happening in the future, Joe. I kind of think not. I would just say this, Joe. Unlike Herb, I think Herb is actually genuinely bitter and speaking from his heart, even though his heart is very dark right now. I think you are you're a poser. That was very cleverly written, but I'm not buying it. And but nice try. All right, I got to take a break. We're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Pam. Parents, HBO has created Unpregnant, a film based on a young woman's adventure in pursuit of an abortion. And there is no warning concerning the plot of this PG-13 rated film. Less shame and stigma around abortion is a stated objective of the film's director, Rachel Lee Goldenberg. Please visit 1MillionMoms.com to sign our petition to HBO Max vowing you will not watch Unpregnant. Then urge your friends and family to do the same.
If you want to know how impeachment is going,
exposing Washington.
Well, I'll tell you how it's going.
With Walker Wildman.
In a matter of 24 hours, Donald Trump campaign raises $3.1 million in small donations during the impeachment hearings.
Exposing Washington, each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
That shows you how impeachment is going. It's not going so well.
And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Full weaponization of the federal government to crush a political opponent. Politicians and a political party that build themselves as pro-life while refusing to actually do what's in their power to stop the killing of little babies. The successful and unrelenting advance of regressivism. All of these are signs that our national condition is not merely a natural phenomenon, it's spiritual. Civic engagement without spiritual engagement produces political roller coasters. National course correction will only come by national repentance. We must elevate him.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at afr.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. In 280 AD, a boy was born who grew up to become St. Nicholas, one of the leaders of the early church. He inherited his parents' wealth, which he gave generously but anonymously to the poor. Once a merchant in his hometown went bankrupt and his creditors threatened to take his house and his three daughters, who would be sold into sex slavery. The man wanted them to marry to protect them from this, but couldn't afford the dowry. Hearing about this, Nicholas threw a bag of money through the window in the middle of the night, and it landed in a shoe or a stocking drying by the fireplace. Nicholas did the same thing for all three daughters. This is the origin of the tradition of midnight gift giving and stockings hanging by the fireplace. So yes, Virginia, there really was a St. Nicholas. Merry Christmas.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Joe Biden's compromise by the Chinese Communist Party is likely to result in a wholesale and reckless makeover of U.S. policy towards our country's most dangerous enemy ever. Look no further than his team's proposal to collaborate with China in space. The CCP already deploys vast numbers of spies, agents of influence, and cyber warriors to obtain sensitive technology and proprietary information from Americans. Such expropriation costs us as much as $600 billion per year, and it is contributing to Xi Jinping's bid to secure decisive commercial and military advantages over us. That problem would be vastly intensified, however, if a formal channel were to be established for transferring high-tech know-how and products from the inherently dual-use space industrial sector to Beijing and its programs for using control of outer space to dominate the Earth. That must not happen. This is Frank Affney.
Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios with you. You know, in spite of all this bad stuff, I feel I have joy. I really do. I don't know. I can only be explained supernaturally. I'm just find myself sensing God's presence and just you know, I just, that's what happens when you know Jesus. The Holy Spirit does things that don't make sense, but that's what's happening in my life. And here's a fun email. This is from Sherry in Texas. She says, now this I've never received before, okay? So this is a moment in time. I've been listening to your show for almost a year. This is my first Christmas season listening. And because I've been tuned into your daily broadcast, I've not been playing my Christmas CDs on my drive to work. I was shocked last week when I heard the Hallelujah Chorus urban version in between segments. I was thrilled, to say the least. That CD has been my favorite since it was released in the early 90s. Anyway, I never get that, Sherry. No one ever agrees with me on this, but I'm glad to know there's another person that loves it. It's the Messiah Soulful Celebration, to give it credit. So the Handel's Messiah, she goes on to say, this is a great way to introduce people to the original Messiah. I agree. And that reminds me of an email I got from Thomas. This is cool. He said he worked for AFR for a number of years, monitoring the tower in Lafayette and St. Martinville, Louisiana. And so he gets up at 5:55 a.m. because he is in the high Chihuahuan desert in Alamogordo, New Mexico, to listen to the show every morning. Thomas, that's really something. Okay, but he goes on to say he loves the Messiah, and I guess he heard me talk about Handel and the Soulful Celebration. So he sent me a couple of links to stories about Handel the composer, because he's right. I only gave a very cursory explanation, just a passing comment about the fact that Handel said in his own words that he felt so moved by the own creation of this work that he felt he saw God himself seated on his throne. And I do not doubt that, because it is so inspired and so beautiful. And so, Thomas, thank you for sending these links. And actually, Adam, remind me, we will put these links on our Facebook page so that people can read them, more about George Friedrich Handel. I think that's all I wanted to say about that, and I want to go to the phones. Our phone number, again, is 888-589-8840. And let's go to Joe in Arkansas. Good morning, Joe.
Yes, hello, Sandy.
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Okay, I want to say what I think Congress should have done instead of passing this $2 trillion spending bill is interstate commerce under the Constitution is under federal jurisdiction. So what they should have done is they should have told these governors and these mayors that are keeping their states and cities locked down that they're interfering with interstate commerce and they have to reopen the economy, because we cannot prosper by borrowing money and giving it away free. You know, the only way we can really prosper is by working and earning money and producing.
And yeah,
so
Joe,
Congress considers that instead of another huge spending bill next time, if there is a next time.
Yes, Joe, I think, you know, that's common sense. It's, but you, as I say, probably almost every day, in the absence of God's influence on people's lives, no matter how smart they are, no matter how high their IQ, it makes them foolish and stupid, because they don't have insight, they don't have understanding, they do dumb things. They become confused. It happens to all of us. The further you get from God, the more confused and convoluted your mind gets. But our public policy is a result of that. And the more we go down the tube of godlessness, the worse it's going to get. But you're right. There are a lot of solutions. There are a lot of solutions if we had people who were thinking rightly. Joe, thanks for calling. Let's go to Randall in Georgia. Good morning, Randall. What's going on in Georgia?
Hi. Oh, it's beautiful out here. It's a crisp 46 degrees. And just truck driving down to I-16 here.
Okay.
Headed back to Savannah Port.
That sounds like fun, actually. I'm good. So what's on your mind this morning?
Well, first of all, I always like to say, I mean, I don't do this often ever. But anything good I say, I hope anybody that's listening, and you as well, you recognize it as it comes from God the Father, because He is the only thing that is good. As Christ says, why are you calling me good? For the Father is only good. But basically, what's on my mind is everything that's going on in this world. I recognize everything through Scripture. And I think everyone really should, because Scripture truly tells everybody's story in the world. It starts from just the beginning of Satan being cast down from heaven. And it's just like what's going on in the United States today, how we see evil running our politics and basically trying to destroy our constitutional federal republic, which basically is fused with the Ten Commandments of God. And our forefathers were real smart in writing the Constitution to really connect it to the commandments.
Yes.
Because we're a nation under God.
Yeah, well, and, Randall, actually, the Founding Fathers based the whole system of government on the Trinity, you know, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. Yeah, so, but that's very interesting. And, you know, you have a lot of time as you're driving, and I know that's probably good and bad. I'm sure you can fill your mind with really good thoughts and with prayers, but also can give you time to ponder the bad things. So we will pray that God will. It sounds like you started the call enjoying the beauty of the day. So I just pray that God will be present with you, keep you safe, Randall, and hope we can talk again soon. Thank you so much. Let's go to Jim in Texas. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I hate to admit it, but I'm pretty despondent over this election, and I can't. And I hate to admit it, I'm mad at God. I cannot understand. President Trump was, in my opinion, anointed and appointed to that office, and he's done everything that God has asked him to do. And I cannot understand how Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, if they get into office, they are going to decimate our country, not to mention accelerate the abortion rate. And I don't understand how anybody in our country could vote for a person who runs as a Democrat based on their platform.
Jim, let's talk for a second. Hang one second, because we know about their platform, so I'm going to jump in. Let me just talk about what you said spiritually. You've served God, I bet, for a long time. I don't know how you would describe your faith, but you have to think about it this way. This has been very helpful to me in my early days of being a young mom and having such a very sick child for so many years. How could God do that? It seemed so unfair. It was so cruel, and it was so painful. It was devastating to me as a mom, and it was devastating to my daughter who was suffering. How could God allow that? And then I understood. I understood over the course of time that God did not spare his own son. He did not spare his own son, Jim. And the reason, I can't pretend to explain that to you, but I will just tell you that I know from my own experience, and I know through God's word, that God uses these terrible injustices and these terrible circumstances to do things. He has so much more to consider than our comfort in this country, than our personal comfort in our homes, than the health of our children. Not that he doesn't care, but he has a much bigger view of this world, and he has things in mind that he can't let us know. So I would encourage you. You know, I read a book years ago. You may have heard of this. It was something about there was power. I forget the name of it. It was kind of obnoxious, the name, but it had to do with that there was power in praise, that we should praise God even in difficult circumstances. And to me, it was abhorrent when I was like 22. That just didn't make sense to me. But it truly is true, Jim, that God dwells in the praise of his people. So I would just suggest to you, my advice to you spiritually is find things you can be grateful for and ask God to kind of help you to understand, to work through. Ask the questions. Get mad at him. Tell him in prayer. Don't deny those feelings. But trust God. Ultimately, trust him.
Yeah? I understand, but okay. if they get in, it must be that he has said, Your country has a reprobate mind. I will turn you over to what you have asked for, and we are going to be decimated. I don't think people realize every area of our life, churches, economy, everything you can think of, militarily, if these two, if this Jezebel and Ahab get in office.
Yes, Jim, everything you said is true. Everything you said is true. And that's why, personally, that's what drives me to try to wake people up. And I grieve over what's about to happen. So I agree with you, but I'm trying to give you perspective on God's role in this so that you do not become embittered like Herb that I addressed earlier. So my advice again to you is just, you know, express your anger like you did. I appreciate your honesty. And God certainly knows it, so get angry with him, but then don't leave it there. So anyway, but Jim, thanks, and God bless you. Let's go to Julian in West Virginia. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, Sandy. It's getting late, so I guess I better talk fast. I think both Joe Biden and Hunter Biden are very probably guilty of treason. And I think that Joe Biden had foreknowledge of the COVID virus.
Well, I don't know if, you know, how you could, I don't know how we can know that. You do have to be careful, you know. I think everything you said is true. I think he's criminal. It's a criminal enterprise, his family. Joe Biden, it's been happening for 40 years. They've made up millions. Like I said yesterday, he has 7 or 8 mansions on a senator's salary. So something's not quite right. His brother's wealthy. He's made money. It's a criminal enterprise. It's a very cozy relationship for Joe. I don't know if he knew about the COVID vaccine, but he certainly is very cozy with China. And China is behind a lot of what's been happening in our country. These are trying times, Julian. This is the wheels are coming off the bus. But I'm still praying that God will hear our prayers. We're not done yet. We won't be done until January the 20th. And then for this next phase of what's coming up, that will be the inauguration day. And so we'll have to talk differently about things. But Julian, thank you for your call. Let's go to Will in Texas. Good morning, Will.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I love your show, and I wanted to just make a few quick comments to the Republican Party. I'm a moderate, but I have a lot of friends that are conservative, and I love the Republican platform for focusing on the family values and things of that nature. But the problem I have with the Republican Party, they don't know how to reach out to the African-American community and the Latino community. What I mean by that is choosing a president that's not racist. If Donald Trump would have lived in the 1800s, he would have been a slave owner. And we need the Republican Party to take the blinders off their eyes and wake up and choose someone that will pull the country together and not separate it. Because I'm definitely not for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris movement.
Yeah.
I understand it totally. It's a bad deal.
Will.
But African Americans, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the reason I'm interrupting you is because the ending music is playing, so I have to go. But I just want to say this. First of all, I appreciate your honesty. I would say this, because of my history working in politics and having so many, working with so many black friends through the years, part of what you said is true. I found the Republicans unable to reach out to blacks because they couldn't relate to them. But I found the Democratic Party to be the way they reach out is to treat you like you're inferior and to feel like they have to give you everything. And I think the black community is like we all do. We respond to free handouts and we get addicted to them, but it's not good for us. And I think that's the difference. There's no perfect party, Will. I don't think President Trump is a racist. I think that's a mischaracterization that's been spread and it's stuck. And that's part of why we're in this situation. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.